Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by his name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. We're glad you could be with us today. This is Tom from the Sky Family, and we're going to be talking about money today, something that concerns us all. There's a lot of people who are very concerned about money today, and I'm going to address two groups that are particularly concerned. The first is all the ministers of the gospel, whether in churches or on the mission field. And the second is everybody else. Has God called you to serve him? Have you felt an urgency to be about the King's business? I know there's some who are listening today who want to work for Jesus, but when you look at your circumstances, you think, I can't possibly do that. How would I be supported? How could I live? Who would take care of me? And you've been stopped cold because of your concerns for finances and the possible lack thereof. And for you, Jesus has a word specifically. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking to some of you right now that are in this crossroads and you don't know what to do. Well, in Matthew 10, verse 8, Jesus tells us, freely you received, freely give. Do not acquire gold or silver or copper for your money belt. He tells us not to gather any money. And he says, don't acquire gold, which is a lot of money. Do not acquire silver, which is less money. And do not acquire copper, which is just a little bit of money. He says, don't gather any money. And that's pretty contrary to the reasoning of the flesh, isn't it? But we see the wisdom of God in it. For we see that those who acquire money so that they can go out and serve, if they try to store up enough money so that they can live by faith, in many cases, they never end up going. Their leaving is shipwrecked for concern of raising enough money to be comfortable. In many cases, those who try to acquire money so that they can serve the Lord will inevitably come to ruin. Either they'll never get enough to be secure going out, or they'll get so tangled up in making money that they forget about being a minister or a missionary. Great numbers of ministers and missionaries fail because they get too comfortable in their work for God. That's why missions work within normal structures largely comes to little eternal good. If you raise tens of thousands of dollars a year and then go to live in a third world country, it can be a very substantial income. The devil uses money and comforts to neutralize them. This has been a historical pitfall for people going out to the mission field. But the ministers and missionaries who have books written about them are those who went out just as Jesus commanded. They went however they were. They went with no money, with no mission organization, nothing. They just heeded the call and went. And you'll notice that there's no books written about comfortable ministers and comfortable missionaries with comfortable salaries and pleasant conditions. It's one of the consistent factors with all the great workers for God. They had no support. Look at the life of Gladys Allward or Mary Slessor or Hudson Taylor or Jackie Pullinger. They all just went. And now we read about them. Not only did God say we didn't need to raise money in order to go to work for him, in order to do all things in a prudent, responsible way, he said, don't do it. The other snare in acquiring money is that it corrupts our motives. It can turn us into hirelings. That is, people who preach or work for money. The money takes hold of them, and suddenly they go from being a true-hearted minister to becoming a hireling, like Balaam, who was a preacher for hire. Even if God still blesses the word itself that is spoken, their hearts have been corrupted. That means when hard times come, they will flee. true-hearted pastors don't care about making sure they're paid such and such amount. Their concern is for the flock. Jesus said the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's why the true-hearted shepherd must be dead to the love of money. Paul says, if you have food and shelter, be content with that. And now, we'll address the second group, and that is everyone else who doesn't feel called to the ministry. We live in an age that is consumed with a desire for money and a worry about how to get it and a greater worry about how to keep it. Interestingly, there are many people who believe that the return of Christ is imminent. And we read something interesting about that in 2 Timothy 3:1, where Paul says, "But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self and lovers of money." Those are the first two things on the list which characterizes the last days. And we see it's true. We see a society that is obsessed with making money, and we see the world and the church filled with the gospel of self-love, what we call the gospel of self. But what does the word say about these things? Jesus tells us clearly in the gospels, "Do not store for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy, but store for yourself treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal." Paul tells us in 1 Timothy, "We have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all type of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a pang. But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness." So whether we are a minister of the gospel or not, it is required of us all to be free from the love of money. Jesus tells us again in the same gospel, "You cannot love God and love money. You must choose between the two." To help us become dead to the love of money, it's good to realize that there is actually no getting ahead in this world. It doesn't exist. Those who look like they're getting ahead aren't. And I can speak with some authority here because I have personal experience in this area. From my own experience, I can say that by all appearances, we looked like we were doing very well in business. And to our staff, we were millionaires. But on the year that we grossed the most money ever, when all the expenses were totaled, we actually lost more money that year than at any other time. And it reminds me of the man who built the Cunard ship line, which launched the Queen Elizabeth I and II. He was the largest shipmaker of his day. But when you read his story, you find out that he went broke and died in bankruptcy. And so it is with all the entertainers and the glitzy people we idolize. Their final end is nothing. If you follow the lives of those who are the most famous musicians, who were on top of the world and you examine their life now, a few decades later, you'll see that they have either died of horrific deaths and in poverty, or they are right now exceedingly miserable. Their pursuit of fame and money came to nothing. So the end of these people that we idolize is nothing. And if you examine closely those who appear to be doing well, they aren't. It's an illusion to tempt us into the love of money. If you idolize those who do well in business and you think that they have got it all, if you examined it closely, you would find that behind the appearance of wealth is every unseen disaster, heartache, and disappointment. The love of money is like any other sin. It has an appearance of being something awesome, but there's no substance behind it. Worldly security actually does not exist. But this is something that does exist. Being in God is security. God takes care of his people, and he takes care of them well. And that's as good as it gets. And that's exactly what King Solomon said, who was the richest king of all time in Israel. He said, if a person has enough to eat and has clothing enough, he has as much as any human needs. And I believe that. The explanation for this can be found if we go back to the curse of Adam in the garden. What was the curse? That all of man's pursuits would come to nothing. He would have to work by the sweat of his brow. And why was the curse put on the earth? It was so that we wouldn't be lost in the pursuit of the things of the world. The curse of Adam is not meant to be overcome by hard labor and industrious ambition. This is a misunderstanding in many Christian circles. Because being an industrious hard worker is a good thing, we take it too far, and we think that we can overcome the curse of God by our ambition. And this, of course, is the great North American virtue. But the curse of Adam cannot be overcome because God never meant it to be overcome. In fact, it is meant to subdue us so that we would begin to seek the things that are truly valuable. Isn't that an amazing thing? God sent the curse so that we wouldn't be blown away by seeking all the things of the world. He sent the curse to subdue us so that we would turn our eyes upward to the Lord to seek the things which have eternal value. And so Paul says, with all the regular things of earth, with our food and our clothing, with these things, be content. The basics are all we were meant to have at this time. Anything more would shipwreck our eternal riches. So let us pursue the eternal reward. Let us store up treasure in heaven instead of on earth. I'd like to pray for you. Lord, I come before you this day to ask particularly on behalf of those that you have been calling and leading into your service, and who, by fear of lack, have not taken that step yet. And I pray that today, because of listening to this word, they would be filled with courage and they would step out in boldness, that they would be like Peter, who stepped out of the boat to meet you on the waves. Lord, that they would hear your word to come, and they would come. And I pray you'd greatly strengthen them today, that their joy would be full as they begin to follow you in pure faith. And I thank you, Lord, we have a strong testimony that those who heed your call will be taken care of by you. And Lord, I pray for those who do not feel particularly called to the ministry. And I pray that you'd set them free from the pursuit of the things of this world and the pursuit of the passing pleasures of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Lord, let us be seekers of God instead of seekers of money. Let us seek the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Lord, I pray that the seed of revival would take root in our hearts today, that we would be completely sold out to you, that we would desire you, that you would be our treasure. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Be sure to visit skiesrevivalradio.com, where you'll find many encouraging resources, including the first book of our Revival Begins With You series. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door into Radiant Life, and it's available in hard copy or download. You'll also find Celtic Revival music CD and other uplifting materials there. We look forward to getting together with you again next week.
These radio programs are aired weekly throughout Northeastern U.S. and Canada, as well as all across the country on our Sky Family mailing list and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Skies Celtic Revival CD, which is available on the Sky Family website or on iTunes.